Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio right here in Mattawa, New Jersey. Your host, Sturch, Gooch, AJ behind the glass. Good to be back. Good to feel, you know, it's been a couple days away from the studio, you know, coming back from Dallas. That was an extraordinary trip.
Did they win?
They kind of won. Ah. They kind of won. And you know what, guys? I did tune in yesterday, and I said, I wonder how much love I'm going to get. I got it from you, right, Age? But from Chris's perspective, I feel like I got more like, what's wrong with the Eagles?
No.
There ain't nothing wrong with the Eagles. They stink. I said they stunk, and the Cowboys are really good.
That is not true. I feel like I actually turned the corner on the defense. I gave them a lot of credit.
Okay.
I talked how good Trayvon Diggs was. I said, maybe it's time. The only thing I had bad to say about Dallas, literally, was the second quarter, how they managed the clock going into halftime. That's literally the only bad thing that I said.
Did I text you during the game or after?
We were texting. I texted. I said, bro, you got to fucking call timeout.
Oh, dude, it goes without saying. Like, that's not the first.
And I'm not
going to
say on air what Dave's response and that doesn't pass.
You'll get canceled. If you read on the air what I said about Mike McCarthy's clock management skills, I will never be able to do another podcast again. But I will say this. The Dallas Cowboys, I know you guys didn't touch, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, you're not the Cowboys guys over here. I'm the one flying high. The Cowboys played a great game, but it's behind us now. And now it's on to Carolina, where the Cowboys will be playing the Panthers on Sunday. 1 o'clock. So no more primetime stuff. I finally get to watch the team at a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, where that does set the tone. I know you, Sunday 1 o'clock is your favorite, right?
I love Sunday at one.
Because if you win, it just sets you for the rest, right?
You're on at one this week?
Yeah. At home. So it's actually a 12 o'clock start. By the way, that hour difference, it's not that big a deal, but it is a big deal. Like, there was a couple times where I'm just like, the game was over. Monday Night Football was over at like 10. Like 10:15, and I was like, so now what do? You know, oh, now we go out and rage. And I'm like, okay, it's only 10 o'clock, you know? Back home, I'm barely staying up to the fourth quarter because it's over at 11:30. That's our difference is huge. But, dude, Texas, such – have you ever – you obviously never been, right? For no reason.
I've never been to Texas.
Dude, I kid you not, it's my favorite place on earth. Yes, because of the Cowboys are there, but yes, because of just the atmosphere. Everybody just likes everybody. Everybody drives a truck. Everybody just, it's just a America. You know what I mean? Like, it is just America to me. I don't know. And I loved it. I love every second
Jersey.
Of it.
I've never been to Texas, but from what I hear, everybody's moving there now. You got Joe Rogan's now a Texas native. So
right.
I think it's almost where there's a little more freedoms in Texas, so that's where you go to.
I will say this, you know, you're New Jersey has the restrictions still, and there's certain things. You go to Texas, game over. Like, you can do whatever you want out in Texas. First of all, you can also carry. Wild, wild west out there. You could just, hey, man, can I see your ID? Yeah, sure, let me get past my piece, and then I'll show you my ID. I was like, I've never seen so many guns in my life. I was like, this is A, terrifying, but B, pretty badass, you know? It's just like, yeah, let me get my phone. And it just like spits down. Like,
I've never even held a gun in my life.
Really?
Never.
Oh, it's liberating, bro. Liberating. Go to like a range or something. It is, once you fire that pistol for the first time, you're like, whoa, like it is, it's great. My stepdad, my mom's husband, or whatever the hell he is, he's been around my life for like 20
stepdad,
years.
Yes.
But I mean, like, they never got married. I get what you're saying. They never got married, so he's just like, he's my stepdad.
My mom's husband, whatever he is.
A Jace, whatever. Anyway, you go down in his basement and open up his Fort Knox, and it's just like, he is ready for the British again. Like, he's ready for the Russians. He's ready for any kind of attack.
Yeah, it's like my brother-in-law. It's
oh, my insane. God.
It's like, brother, you know, you live in a nice town in New Jersey. Everything is okay.
He's in the sticks in Pennsylvania, and he's just like, hey, everybody, got all. And I'm like, holy shit. But, yeah, so anyway, Texas was fun. Got back last night at 12. I've never spent more money on Ubers in my life. You want to hear really crazy gouging of Ubers. On game day, Brett and the guys that I were with were running really behind, and I knew a lot of guys at the tailgate, so I'm thinking to myself, maybe I should just go tailgate with these guys and then meet up with Brett and my crew. So I kept debating that, and at one point it was $30 from my hotel to the stadium. And I'm like, all right. And that was at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Dallas time. And then it was like 3:15. I'm like, you know what? F it. I'm going to go tailgate. Let me see Uber. $174.
Yeah, bro.
I'm
that's
like
the Jersey, like Jersey Shore like, race. Try and get an Uber leaving like Jenks on a Saturday night at 1:30.
Oh, for crap! Like
$2.50 to get to Mattawan.
What's wrong with these
people? That's not even a joke.
It's criminal.
No, I know. I'm aware. I'm aware. I went to Miami. You go to a club.
That's a
you
flight
leave there
bro.
At night. It's that's, friggin' $300.
It's a criminal
you people,
charge.
You got people flying for cheaper than it costs to get picked up from a bar drunk on a Saturday night.
Speaking of being at a bar drunk or coked up or being a criminal in general,
I'm lowering my light, by the way.
John Jones.
Wow.
As you get up, John. Yeah, no, John Jones is the focal point of the media right now because of all the details that are surfacing about the John Jones incident. You know, it's so funny. He had that interview with somebody and he said, you know, how do you right all the wrongs? And he's like, well, you just got to stay out of the way of the law. Stay out of trouble, right? Oh. The day after.
He was making some jokes where it was like, we talked about this on the MMA podcast. Obviously, go check out Chopheads MMA. It was actually released a day late. That was on me, but not really.
Is it up now? It's up now?
It's up now. It's up. Right, so we talked at length about the John Jones situation, but since we spoke about it, a lot of new details have emerged. Now, to give a little bit of a backstory, John Jones was inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame, not as a fighter, but his fight with Alexander Gustafsson. So this weekend, when they had the card, UFC 266, John Jones had a little ceremony. Back at his hotel, he got drunk. There was an incident. The police were called. So John Jones is outside his hotel now. His wife his fiance of 16 years. They're not married yet.
That's legally binding, by the way. Like, if you're together for that long, it's like...
Yeah, they have three children together.
Right, so they're married.
They're basically married, exactly. It's the same situation.
So it's my stepdad rule.
Stepdad. So...
Except he's not beating the shit out of my mom.
John Jones gets tracked down by the police outside the hotel.
Right.
Resists arrest. Bangs his head into the car.
Solid.
Dents the police car. Challenges all the cops to a fight. He's belligerent back and forth. Now, his fiance is saying that she wasn't struck, but she was grabbed by the back of her head and her hair was pulled and she was visibly afraid for John to return. So she was asking the police, like, how long before you release him? How much time do I have? Now, mind you, they were only in Vegas for the day, right?
For
the
ceremony.
They live in New Mexico. So she was there to celebrate with him. Dana White comes on. He's like, bro, we try and keep John Jones out of Vegas as much as possible because John Jones, when he's in Vegas, what happens? He gets arrested. So
things go wrong.
John Jones now went out on his Twitter yesterday as well, or his Instagram, and he made a lot of questionable
posts. So he's out of jail.
He's out of jail. He was only held for 12 hours, $8,000 bail.
$8,000, that's
what
it?
What it was the police didn't believe her story because she had blood all over her shirt. She had a fat lip. She had some bruising on her face. So John Jones, again, beat the shit out of his fiance. So obviously there's demons in John Jones' life. The fact that
he was
talking about this whole weekend, there was like basically a John Jones PR weekend where his manager was on talking about how he's ready to fight again. They put all the bad blood behind them with the UFC. Well, guess what? Now John Jones is definitely not ready to fight again. It's going to be at least another 2 years before we see John Jones. You got to imagine there's going to be a suspension.
That's it.
No, it's not it. Want to know why it's not it? Because Dana White. White's not going to cut John Jones.
I'm not saying cut him, but like, how old is he? Mid-30s?
He's like 33, 34.
Okay, so in 2 years when he's done probably serving time at this point, you know, do you think that he's going to be just ready to rock and roll and go back to heavyweight and just like try to bulk up again? Like, first of all, him bulking up the way he did, I don't know if that's the play.
Well, we don't even have
that's
to talk.
Fighting.
We don't even
that's
fighting.
Yeah,
we don't even have to talk about that. We'll have that conversation in 2 years down the line if and when John Jones is talking about making another comeback. But Dana White came out in the media and he was talking about the John Jones situation. He's highly disappointed, blah, blah, blah. What are you going to do, Dana? Well, we're going to be consistent. That's what he says. We're going to be consistent with how we've always treated this situation. Now, how many times has John Jones been arrested?
17.
How many times has the UFC gotten rid of him?
Nunzo.
So if Dana's going to be consistent, he's pretty much saying right there, John goes through the avenues that he needs to go through, they'll welcome him back because it's combat sports. This is what you get with these guys. Is it right? Absolutely not. They shouldn't let John Jones fight anymore because if you beat up your wife or your girlfriend in sports, in other sports now, it's like a...
Blackball, goodbye.
I wouldn't say all of them, but with the history that John has, in any other sport, he'd be out.
I think it's obviously gotten a lot more sensitive as time went on. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure this was like almost, this is not no. me trying to say this, but it might have been like commonplace back in like the 80s or something. You know what I mean? Like
even more, even earlier than that.
Right.
But yes, definitely commonplace at some points in American society.
Correct.
For sure. But
terrible.
Definitely not commonplace now. And John Jones came out on his, made some weird, I wouldn't say they were cryptic, but he's just on his Instagram story, he posts a picture of himself. And it's like several different quibs, like a saying about this, a saying about that, saying like, my brain isn't prepared. I've had too many blows to the head to be drinking.
Now he's blaming CTE.
Then he's saying, I'll never drink again. It's time to get my life in order, blah, blah, blah. I'll be back. John, you should not be worrying about saving face right now. You should be worrying about saving your family, getting your mind back on track. I'm not going to sit here and talk bad about somebody with substance abuse, but when somebody's in the public like this, somebody's got to step in for him.
Yeah.
Or his wife.
Here are the quotes from his Instagram. I have way too much trauma to consume alcohol. My brain simply can't handle it anymore. I will leave alcohol in my past forever. Now is the time to work harder than ever. Turn this nightmare into the best thing to ever happen in my life. What the devil means for bad, God means for good. Get right back on my horse.
To me, that's just... First of all, it's an admission of guilt.
He's
basically saying, like, I just did a whole lot of bad shit.
It's an admission of guilt, but it's also him looking like he's trying to play victim to me.
Right. Like, everybody feel bad for me, guys. I'm going to get right. Don't worry. I'll be back, fans. Yeah. Like, if you're a fighter, like, listen, if you're a fan of John Jones, the fighter, fine. I'm a fan of John Jones, the fighter. I loved watching him fight. You know, he's a freaking explosive killer, right? But John Jones, the person, is just a piece of shit. Like, yeah. He's a piece of shit.
Well, I've not liked John Jones since day one.
I can't remember
a time liking that guy. He's always been a scumbag.
He is not a good human being. And it's like, at what point does anybody, like, can you imagine if anybody right now is looking at this situation and saying, like, yeah, John, clean it up, bro.
If John,
you got
if
this.
If John
and I'm
Jones
like,
is your GOAT. You got to rethink what you. What
that's
you
what I'm
call
saying,
goat,
bro. That's why, like, as much as I like McGregor, I do. I really like McGregor. I love his shtick. I love his swag. I love the walk. I love the design. The everything that comes with Conor McGregor. I think he's great for the sport. However, there's been so many things that he's done, like punching an old man in the face, throwing the dolly through the window, doing all this crazy shit. Where I'm just like, I can't get behind this guy as the person.
Page. I'm a fan of the old Conor. That sparked me as a UFC fan. It brought such an energy to the sport, and it revitalized. Like, I wouldn't say I was out on the UFC at that point, but Conor came along, and he really took the sport to new heights. A lot more eyes on the sport. It's much better because of Conor, but same page, bro. Like, you have to be consistent as a good person, and if you're an asshole, I can't really get behind it.
And I'm all for 1,000% all for second chances and, like, you know, redemption stories and all that stuff. But when you keep doing the same shit over and over again, it's just so hard to get behind these guys. It really is. It's like half these guys that are doing these things, you know, they're all like, oh, you know, the comeback is better than the setback. You know, that all right, you can use that once.
So,
and that's it.
So we can all agree, right? John Jones is a piece of shit.
Correct.
Right?
Piece of shit.
Amen.
Everybody listening, John Jones is a piece of shit. On to another, I wouldn't say this guy's a piece of shit.
You know what it is about this guy that we're about to talk about? And that's Richard Sherman, who just signed with the Buccaneers, right? Here's another guy that's like, there's too many things that he's done where people have this picture already painted. I'll tell you when it turned for me is when he basically spit and yelled and screamed at Aaron Andrews. And that's a dog mentality. That's like people that like the cornerback position, or you're a defensive back, or you're a defensive player in the, like, you want that, sure, but it painted a really nasty picture of the personality that you have, right? And then obviously just most recently trying to get into his girlfriend's house, another one that could have went a lot worse than it did.
Yeah, like the details that emerged from that situation, even the people involved, I don't think that was anywhere near as crazy as the John Jones situation. Richard Sherman.
No, not even close.
Has an issue or had an issue with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and there was a bad incident on one night. But I don't know Richard Sherman to be really a problem off the field. As far as the Aaron Andrews situation, I know that had nothing to do with Aaron Andrews. That was more like a beef bubbling over from the Jim Harbaugh and Stanford days with Richard Sherman in college, and
true,
that beef just carried over, and the Crabtree situation. In fact, even Crabtree was an unfair beneficiary of, really, that whole speech, that was directed at Harbaugh. That had nothing to do with Crabtree or Aaron Andrews. I've never been a fan of Richard Sherman. He has popped for, you could say they're PEDs. It was like the Adderall situation. Richard Sherman has been a pioneer for the league. He's, I think he was president of the NFL Players Association.
And he's like a super smart dude. You know what I mean?
He's a really
like,
smart guy. He's articulate. I liked reading his articles on, was it The Ringer?
Yeah.
He also the Players Tribune. I think he Players wrote for Tribune, the
which has got, like, that's like highly credible people. Like, and yeah, he had a podcast with Chris Collinsworth. You know what I mean?
I've not liked the Seattle Seahawk Richard Sherman because he always beat my team. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Sherman in the Legion of Boom. But other than that, I've always respected him off the field. I don't think it's a big deal, the same thing like John Jones happened. I don't think Richard Sherman gets a pass from me. Him going to Tampa Bay, on the other hand, that's a bitch move.
Chasing titles.
But it's very, very
chasing
smart.
Well, look, I mean,
Tampa Bay, it fits.
Richard, but here's the thing.
They need corner help.
We're 3 weeks into the NFL season. We're now in week four, right? So are we saying that nobody, because, I mean, this is clear as day, nobody wanted him. This is Tampa just giving him a shot. This is probably Tom Brady. Like, yeah, we can use him.
I don't know about that.
Bro, it's been for 3 weeks.
Sherman said that he took the offer with the Buccaneers because it was the best offer.
Well,
I got a feeling there wasn't a lot of offers. That's just my take.
I think that there was teams that would have, if he was serious about playing for a team, he would have went. But I think he wanted to play for a contender. So there's teams that aren't contenders that would have gladly taken Richard Sherman.
I got one. What about the fact that the who just traded for C.J. Henderson?
Panthers.
The Panthers just traded for him. So why, yeah, if the Panthers are in need because they just lost their boy.
But that's a guy that they could probably sign to a long-term deal and get
years out of him.
Get years out of him. So
I just figured they were in win-now mode.
He's a player at this point in his career than Sherman is. Sherman's going to come in and be a smart guy on a veteran on a good defense already. You know, he'll come in, he'll be able to play the slot, he'll be able to play some safety if they need him to, and he could cover somebody. So Richard Sherman is a great fit for Tampa. However you want to look at it, no other team wanted him. I wouldn't want any team to want me if Tampa wanted me. I wouldn't really care. I'll go to Tampa and chase that ring.
I mean, that's what he's doing, but it is indeed a bitch move by Richard
Sherman.
Definitely
a bitch move, but
so the newest member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is big. The Titans are already kind of, you know, not struggling per se in the NFL, but like their offense has not really hit that stride yet, except for the obvious of King Henry just doing what he does. But I would say that Julio Jones being injured and now A.J. Brown being kind of banged up.
Is A.J. Brown out this week, A.J.?
I believe that he's out for this week with the hamstring injury. Yeah, it was supposed to be a multiple week injury.
Unbelievable. So that means, like you said, we're talking about in pre. That means like Henry's going to run for like 800 yards, like a college game or a high school football game. But look, this is big news because the Titans are now playing the winless Jets, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I did look at the doc. But so the Jets are in a prime position at home
to get ran all over by King Henry. I hope that's where you were going with this because there is no shot that they have a
I think I said it in the group chat. I said, I think I'm never betting the Jets again or I'm never picking the Jets again. Like until they win a game, I can't do it. You know what I mean? Like this is a prime example and I don't want to like take from the story that we're trying to talk about the Titans. But man, like after watching Zach Wilson, they look lost. You know, they don't have anybody. It's like they're not trying, you know?
That
like,
looks bad.
You think that what's the GM? I liked him too. Joe Douglas is the former defensive end for the Eagles. Joe Douglas, you would think that this guy
is he the guy that T.O. fought?
Maybe. I don't know. T.O. fought a lot of guys. But I would say this about the Jets, like I don't know if Joe Douglas did that very good of a job aligning his offense. You look up and down that roster on offense, your biggest weapon between quarterback, running back, tight end, receiver, all your skill positions is Corey Davis.
Yeah, but they're all young.
That's an issue.
Elijah Moore, give him some time.
I don't know, man.
I think that, look, the Jets are definitely a year or two away.
Year or two? Or are we talking five?
No, we're talking like if Zach Wilson in year three, that's the year that we'll really, really be like, okay, the time is now. Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter, Crowder will be gone by then. But the Jets are a very, very young team. They need to get their line together. They need to figure that out more so than anything. So
I'm surprised because Joe Douglas is a big, you know, offensive line guy.
I think what you're trying to get at is that you had expectations for the Jets and they're not meeting them.
I think I had expectations.
Nobody else did.
Here's right.
So we're all okay.
I think I had expectations for Zach Wilson to improvise. You know, make these guys good. You know, yeah. put it in spots where nobody else is going to grab it.
Dave, Zach Wilson could hit his stride week 7 and be like, oh, this is what I was talking about. I knew Zach Wilson was good.
I still see it. Give it some time. It's right just now, really hard to look at right time, now. Though. Definitely hard.
Right now it's not.
We'll see. But more so what's important is who's going to be catching the ball from Ryan Tannehill. In terms of the receiving weapons, they got the Ilnede Westbrook kid.
How about a wow. little how about a little Jersey flavor in New Jersey, Anthony Firkser?
Yeah, I would say he might be a guy that right into add as a tight end stream. If you,
I was just about to say. Honestly, I'm gonna look at the targets and different things like that. I'm gonna look at how the Jets cover the tight end position. But right now, I'm looking at Anthony Firkser as a guy who could actually have a pretty good week this week.
So. And more importantly, this is what's going on with Julio. This is why guys like me move Julio all the way down on my draft boards, because anyone could get hurt in the NFL. Like, you didn't really have an idea that Deontay Johnson would be injured, or like these guys aren't injury prone. Anyone is susceptible. But the fact is, Julio is hurt every year. He plays through it, but now at this stage of his career, he's 34.
Yeah, he's out. He's up there.
So it's going to start to take its toll. Julio's been balling out a little bit, but he might be dealing with this injury the rest of the way.
His injury?
They're not talking about. What's his injury? What I'm saying. Like, it's a leg injury.
Oh, Christ.
When you say leg injury, it means like
they're treating this like it could mean
the ground.
The Mets are treating the ground. Yeah. Like, so just
typically,
a little
when you're dealing with a leg injury, they're not disclosing it because they don't really
want you
to.
Know what? Yeah, because you know what? If you're looking at like AJ Brown, bro, hamstring for a receiver. That's tough to, you know.
AJ Brown's a tough dude, but it doesn't matter how tough you are when it's a muscle.
Right. It's not a bone that
can
heal.
You're not playing
through
pain.
It's a muscle.
You can't do it. I don't know. It's that simple.
Difficult. But I guess, is that it for the NFL?
Yeah. Let's
all right, cool. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to toss it over to Craig and Jotnine of Absolute Eyewear. And when we come back, boys and girls, we are down to like the last 5 days of the Major League Baseball regular season. We're going to get into all of the wild card talk. We'll talk about the MVP race, and then, we'll call it a day. So give us a couple minutes, and we'll be back in a little bit. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Jotnine right now.
That timing.
Hey, good timing there. Welcome back to the Chop Sports Daily right here, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy Studios here in Mattawan, New Jersey. We also want to give a shout out to Hater Fantasy Football. I forgot to tell you, or I don't think you brought it up. I'm not sure. You might have, as far as my result from Sunday.
Yeah, he did bring it up. He did bring it up. Apparently.
Huh?
You killed it, right?
And by kill it, I mean my team sucked the most, which is incredible. This game, it was so difficult because, look, at first, this is what you do. You draft your team, and then you realize, shit, I have to spend $30,000 more. Like, I'm so under budget. And, like, you actually have to pick a couple decent dudes, like, and to kind of sprinkle it in. Like, who is overpriced? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is Devontae Booker, this much money? I'm like, well, I'm gonna sneak him in because he's going to get, like, 7 carries. You know what I mean? Like, it is a strategy game. So if you guys are into it, it's coming soon. I'm very excited about it because the Hater Fantasy Football – Tommy D chiming in. Dave's back. #WeWantJimmy. Appreciate you, Tommy, as always. But Hater Fantasy Football, a lot of fun. I tested the site out this week, and I won. There was like 10 dudes that submitted their lineups, and I won that bad boy by scoring a whopping, I think it was like 60 points. And I was like, okay, good job, Dave, for picking out the shittiest players. It's a whole, listen, if you think you got fantasy football on lock, like a Chris, like even like an AJ, guys that are our resident warlords of fantasy football, try your shit with this.
Like the same concept for just making picks through the first 2 weeks, I would have dominated. I tried my picks? Best, yeah. And I still did shitty.
Game picks, definitely. Hater Fantasy Football, the way to go about things. Get involved there when they launch. Really excited about that. So, last night, once again, Bully Ball. I was on the plane getting updates as this was happening. The Yankees kept hitting home runs. The Yankees are playing really well. And Michael Kay's you got to win them all prediction is almost there.
Wait, Michael Kay or me? Don't slander me.
Well, no, I'm not slandering you. He's the first person to say it. Then you said, yes, all of them.
I don't
obvious.
Want to Michael Kay, so I can't even
speak. He said it on the broadcast. He just said basically like, hey, you know, the easiest way for the Yankees to get to the postseason is if you win the rest of the games.
You asked me the other day, you were like, how many do they have to win? I said, they got to win them all. And then I got actually, a couple of people messaged me, Hawaii Mike was like, they don't need to win them all. I said, well, they might. You don't know that. Right
now they're riding, let's see, three and then three against Boston. It's a seven-game winning streak, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So seven-game winning streak heading into another two games with Toronto, and then they finish out with Tampa. The magic number, which I love magic numbers, just means like that's how close you are to getting to the postseason, or to me, quote, postseason. I don't buy the whole wild card game as a postseason game or a postseason appearance unless you get to the wild card round or divisional round. But the Yankees are three games away. Magic number's three. They can take care of business. If they sweep out Toronto, that means they'll have to take one out of the entire Tampa series.
Well,
and then it'll be in.
Those numbers change with a loss from another team.
They do.
So they don't even really.
The magic number can go down to one by tomorrow.
The magic number could be zero at this point.
Correct.
Technically.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No, can't. Because they need a couple teams to lose. But I will say, you know, Yankees beating up on the Red Sox. And of course, after the, you know, last night with Tampa, Toronto, they have a shot to get there. And this is the time.
Boston had a chance to at least capitalize on one of the two teams losing that they need to lose with Toronto and the Yankees playing each other. And they lose to the lowly fucking Orioles.
The Orioles go.
This is the Boston Red Sox that we've known to love over the years, Dave. Like, they can't get it done late in the season, and again, Boston's struggling late.
I've never been such a big Baltimore Orioles fan in my life. Like, and I know, and I know.
Let's talk about how Seattle's only a half a game behind Boston right now.
Seattle's been winning games.
Overtook Toronto, so Toronto's almost—I wouldn't say out of the mix because clearly they're not. With five games to go, they're, I think, two and a half behind us now.
I think Jeff Passan of wherever the hell he works put out a thing where he put out this scenario, right, where it could be literally be like a five-way tie at the end of the year if certain things fall. And he's like, I love chaos. I'm like, well, I don't. Like, can we get out of this crap? There's a lot of Yankee fans out there that are calling for, like, for instance, I'll ask you, and I'm not getting ahead of myself. This is a possibility. If the Yankees keep winning the way they're winning and they get that number one spot and they're in the Bronx, you're going to have to either deal with the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, or the Seattle Mariners. Gooch, who do you want?
Boston.
I hate you. All right, AJ, you're wearing your grandfather's Yankee hat today in good spirits and good luck. Who, as a Yankee guy, who would you want?
I'd want to face the Mariners easily. I mean, I know that
they are red hot, though.
I know that they're playing well enough to be here right now, but just looking at that roster and the way it's made up, I think that it's in a prime position for the Yankees to feast on them. So that easily is the team I would want to face.
All right. Well, to me, I'm going to have to lean towards Seattle as well, only because Toronto has that offensive lineup that could just, you know, they're going to explode at any moment. And I don't want a one-game series with Chris Sale and the Red Sox. I don't want it.
I think Seattle's a better team than Boston because they play so much better in the field. They have a better bullpen. Their lineup is very good. It's not bad like people think it is. They have some guys that are hot right now, so that's almost more important than having these star players that aren't playing well. And plus, the Yankees talk about teams that like they'll feast on Seattle. They are feasting on Boston in the second half. Boston hasn't done shit.
I heard
since the All-Star break against us. So
Boomer said that on the way in. He said, "If I'm the Yankees, I want Boston. They're playing the worst baseball right now.
They're playing by far the worst baseball right now." The fact is that because they're playing such bad baseball, it's probably not going to be Boston, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, see, we wanted that, so that doesn't happen. Cardinals, they're going to lose anytime soon, or
Cardinals are now clinched. And
Never again.
That's insanity.
The NL wild card. The NL playoffs are basically set. So the teams that are going to be in the postseason are in the postseason, but we just don't know which team is going to be the number one wild card. Is it going to be LA or is it going to be San Francisco?
Well, whoever loses that division.
Yeah.
Which both of them already have won 100 games, which
both
is nuts.
Yeah, both best teams in baseball by far, I think. So What is it? One game separating them right now? I think there's five.
It's one, yeah. Well, there was a game. The Dodgers are playing. I was watching that game on the plane too. Who the hell are they playing?
San Diego and then Arizona. I want to say
Dodgers are two games back of San Francisco.
Oh, they're out of time then.
So yeah, with five to go, I think that's the wrap.
Playing way too good. They're all season long, two games.
See, but that's what I'm saying, bro. Imagine
if they played each other. I would give them a shot.
Imagine winning 100 plus games, and then your season ends like that because of a one game wild card. To me, that's just not fair. That is not fair. Like 100 games.
So there was teams before they even did the wild card that would win 100 games and wouldn't even make the postseason.
I don't know.
You get it, you know.
Yeah, like, no, I get that part, but I'm saying like that. But that also has like. Let's, for instance, if it was a last series that they had to win or had to have, right? But they have three opportunities to deal with and blah, blah, blah. Like, bro, one game, like, I still don't agree with this format. I know the networks clean up. I get it. It's ratings thing. Everybody loves it. The, you know, the adrenaline's pumping. The stadiums are rocking. I get it.
The Yankees have, I think, advanced twice as the second wild card.
And you know what?
Since they took it on.
And you know what? They were losing the both of those games. And I that sinking feeling of knowing but that you no, just watched 162
but
games.
They were losing both of those games and they won. But the fact is, they wouldn't have been in the game at all if they didn't have the second wild card.
I get it. But I mean, to me, that goes back to like participation.
So trophies. It's almost like, all right, you get it. But yeah, doesn't that suck for the team that was the first wild card and they got bounced in one game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if six games separate those two?
Here's the thing. The beauty of it, and this is why I do love it.
Actually, that is the scenario in the NL.
The beauty of it is like this. It's like, oh, well, if only there was one way we could figure out a way to like decide which team should advance. And it's like, oh, have them play, and the winner goes. So if you really just win that game, I get the
tie, and you have to play because you finished tied. And so, all right, play game 163. So go ahead.
I understand what you're getting at, but in the NFL, what makes it so great is that they don't have any series whatsoever. It's just one in your
Well, that's why they're so valuable, each game. You know, but like every other sport has 70, 80, 90 plus games, or in baseball's case, 162. So you just like imagine being the Dodgers right now, right? 100 wins. How many wins does a second wild card team have?
Second wild card.
Look that up.
88.
Right.
In a row.
Right,
I haven't lost 88 in 4 months.
But imagine that. Imagine being the Dodgers, playing your balls off the entire year, just falling short of that division title.
Winning
100 games.
We all understand that.
And then having to play a team that won 12 games.
I understand all that. And honestly, maybe I'll change my mind if the Yankees get the first wild card and lose.
Right.
Then I'll be like, you know what, Dave, you're 100% right. But until then, I like the
baseball. It's all about circumstance, really.
I like the fact that you could actually, like I've mentioned in the past, you get that energy. If you do win that game, that brings the team together. You get catapulted into the real postseason.
And you also lose your number one starter.
Fair. If so, be so. You gotta do what you gotta do.
All right.
Guess when else you lose your number one starter in game two? You don't get him anymore. So it's just it doesn't really matter. You know, it might line up where you get him in a series deciding game seven because of that. So
why couldn't the Yankees just win?
I do agree that does suck, but this is not supposed to be easy. If you want to win, win your division.
Put Booby in.
Right?
Yeah.
And then
I get it.
If you do beat the Yankees as the second wild card, then I'll change my mind.
All right. Obviously. All right. Well, look, there's teams making the playoffs, and there's guys that are competing for a massive, massive consolation prize to not win the World Series, and that's MVP, right? So the race is kind of down to two, right? It's just two. At this point, it's Ohtani and it's Vlad Jr., which is still kind of cool to me to even say Vlad Jr. Raised on Vlad Sr.
This is one of those things where in a unanimous – in All-Star break, it was unanimous landslide. Ohtani, clear cut.
He's only had 40 home runs at the All-Star break.
Either way, just what he was doing at that time, he was hitting a home run every day. He pretty much stole the show, essentially, across baseball. He was the guy that everyone wanted to see. But the whole time, Vlad's has been on his heels. It sucks because I think Vlad's is the MVP. I think if you really look at the numbers, it's just not really close in that regard.
This is – go ahead.
But the one thing that they're that everybody's talking about is his wins above replacement, that his WAR.
Dumb stat.
Because he's a pitcher, it's guaranteed going to be double almost anybody else in baseball. He's playing on a team that's not competing for a postseason spot. It's hard for me to give the guy the MVP, even though he's doing something that's crazy historical where you don't see it ever, but his batting average is like 250.
I raised a question.
He's a mediocre pitcher. He's not a great pitcher.
First of all, explain to me, and this is going to make me sound very uneducated when it comes to the game of baseball, in which I've been watching baseball my entire...
I know you asked me, what is WAR? Yep. Wins above replacement? Go ahead,
explain that one.
Not enough time here to, right. to explain it.
but that's what I'm getting at.
I will, however, like, sit it shouldn't down have anything to do with that. And give you an idea as to how it all works.
Okay, we'll do it on the green screen.
I have no actual definitive knowledge as to what WAR means.
Which is ridiculous.
I do have an idea.
But that's what I'm saying, bro. If you and I were diehard baseball fans.
Do you know what OPS stands for?
Opposing, no. Opposite, no.
On-base plus slugging. That's actually a really good stat.
So his on-base percentage plus his slugging percentage.
Yeah.
Cool. So that number is going to be really high. Like, that's just, you know, like, that's just, oh, yeah, man. Yeah. These that. All right, here's my theory with MVPs, and this is how I do it in the NFL and any other sport, right? So Toronto Blue Jays right now are in a position where they can get into the playoffs. The Angels mm-hmm. are not. They're just a bad baseball team overall as a whole, right? Not a bad baseball team, but just not. They're not going to be in the postseason. Now, would that change? I always think about guys, MVP, think about the definition, most valuable player. If you took Ohtani away from the Angels, what's that do for the Angels?
They're probably going to win around the same amount of games.
Yeah, correct.
They would still light up the bat, but their pitching would be slightly worse.
Okay. If you took Vlad away from the Blue Jays, that team ain't near the playoffs.
No.
He's the most valuable player. Give it to Vlad. His numbers aren't
get it. I do think he should get it in a it's like you're punishing Vlad's because he's not a pitcher. You know, like it's not
correct.
Like
maybe that just should be a new thing where you're not eligible to win MVP if you're a multi-position player.
What the knock is on Guerrero is that I'm pretty sure that he DHs a whole lot. So
yeah, so did Ortiz. You know what I mean?
I understand, but that's a knock. You know, like you're not playing the field, but Ohtani DHs every day that he's not.
Give the MVP to Giancarlo Stanton.
Judge, maybe. Judge is actually in the
Judge had a great year.
But not really
but in yeah, the conversation. My definition of most valuable player is if you took this guy off the team right now, where does that team wind up? You know, if you took Judge off this Yankees team, they'd probably still get it going a little bit. They'd probably do all right. Maybe a couple games here and there where like his performances are needed. But like He's not, to me, he's not the end-all, be-all for that New York Yankees lineup. When you look at Toronto up and down, they have a lot of good pieces. But you take Vlad Guerrero out of that lineup, they're not as, you know, they're not the Bash Brothers anymore.
He's
you know
not hitting, what has he got, 46 bombs?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I think this, to me, this race is only close because of what Ohtani is able to do. That's why this race is even close.
I mean, yeah, so Vlad is third in all of the American League in batting average. He's second in home runs. He is...
Who's first?
What, in home runs? Salvador Perez of the Kansas City Royals. And Vladimir Guerrero also has the most hits in the league.
I think it's a...
In my eyes, it's very clear.
I don't think it's Guerrero. A race. I don't see this being much of a race at all.
It's crazy that you say that because he's not even... He might not even come close to winning.
Yeah, I think
Ohtani's going to win it in a landslide, but I think it's unfortunate because I do agree
with you. But that's what I'm saying. Ohtani is winning it because of his ability to do multiple things, and that's an unfortunate part. But whatever. I mean, somebody's going to win it, but my focus primarily.
They should come up with like a new award like they do with the UFC, like a BMF. It's like the coolest thing we've seen award where it's like, right. It's cool, Ohtani, but you're not the best.
Yeah, well, listen, it's been a cool story. You know what I mean? It's been something to be said for what he's able to do and what he's done for the league internationally, nationally, you know. So the guy's all of a sudden an icon, and he's more than likely going to win MVP. I think, if I had a vote, which I don't have a vote, if I had a vote, it goes to Vlad. But, yeah. And anyway, this week has been a little off as far as the programming is concerned. You said that MMA just launched yesterday. Today, later on today, you'll have Chart Choppers with Alan Austin. Tomorrow is loaded. Tomorrow you're going to get a new episode of... The Goddamn Jets. You'll get a new episode of Till Mets Do Us Part. You'll also get a new episode of All About the Star, where I can rant and rave about the Cowboys just a little bit more. And then, of course, there's another one Wednesday. Oh, you also get another episode of I'm Your Football Team with Keith Ernst. He was not in Texas. It was just me and Brett. But that all drops. I don't think Squeaky Bum is going to drop another one on Friday. Congratulations to Mike Salerno. He's signing his death sentence, a.k.a. getting married. Congratulations to you, buddy. So that's as far as a programming note is concerned. Also, we want to thank, of course, some of our heavy advertisers here. Obviously, we're doing this from the Flipping Made Easy studio. We also love and really appreciate Hater Fantasy Sports and what we're about to launch with them. And, of course, Joe Pizzamenti, my boy Joe, Uncle Joey, he's actually responsible for AJ Bascone. So one, he's been supporting us as an advertiser. Two, he gives us our producer. So that's.
Oh, he's also a liaison. A producer liaison.
He is a producer liaison. Like intern is gone to producer of a show. So that, Joe, of course, thank you so much. So for all of our subscribers and our listeners, be sure to hit the subscribe button. Get your little notifications when we go live every day. It is Wednesday. Wednesday is the hardest show to really kind of put together because, look, football runs this world. And there was some football talk, which is great. But tomorrow we'll get to preview this massive juggernaut of a Thursday night football game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars. How the frick did Jacksonville get a primetime game?
Urban Meyer.
Well, it's a Thursday. That's why. I mean, all the Thursday.
True, touche on that
also
one.
Also, was the Tim Tebow situation at – where did they make the schedule already by then?
The schedule came out right after the draft.
So Tebow wasn't
I don't think Tebow was a consideration. But I think by rule, every team has to have a Thursday game. Just by rule. So anyway. So that game comes tomorrow. Tomorrow we're also going to help you set your fantasy lineups. I signed my whole entire one fantasy team in my league. It's like Cowboys. It's just the entire Cowboys team. It's Dak. It's Zeke. It's now Dalton Schultz because I picked him up. And it's the – ready for this? I picked up the Dallas defense. You best believe they lead the league in turnovers. The world is upside down right now. If you watch that, what's that show? Stranger Things?
Yeah.
The Upside Down?
Yeah.
That's where we're living right now with the Dallas Cowboys having a defense.
And honestly, if Dallas's defense holds up all year, they have some cupcake matchups down the stretch in their division.
Starting to get those feelings. But you know what? The last time I got excited, the Cowboys, I think it was 2 years ago, they were 3-0. And I was like booking my flight to Miami. Like, we're going to the Super Bowl. This is it. This is our squad. And then we finished like 7-9 or something like that. And that's what we did have Dak Prescott. And I think it was 9-7. But anyway, enough about the Cowboys. If you want to do that, All About the Star later on today. So for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ behind the glass running the graphics and running this entire shindig, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Dallas will probably win their division by like 4 games.
I said that in my pre-thing. My preseason predictions, 4 games. Okay, bank on it.